Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that we might be open to hearing and knowing your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Belonging is perhaps the greatest challenge of our age. In nearly every nation, a debate rages about who belongs and who doesn't. When it comes to politics, this debate about belonging so often focuses on immigration. Many assume that those who fit in should look and speak like us. In economics, belonging is a matter of value, where those who pay are welcomed, but those who receive are questioned. Belonging is even an issue in the church. Just listen to when Christians speak about who they think is a real or faithful Christian and who isn't. Jesus had a lot of things to say about belonging, and I'd like to explore a little of what he had to say in the first half of John chapter 14. Before we get into that, I'd like to consider why belonging is so important and why so many of us find it hard to realize. Belonging is intrinsic to being human. We are social creatures who are hardwired to live as part of a group. The coronavirus and the imposition of social isolation has highlighted for many the importance of belonging. We need people to talk with, to touch and to hold, so that our well-being can be all that it should be. We live in a world where belonging is so often conceived as a matter of blood, land, or shared values. We belong when we have a connection. But belonging is more than just a shared language or an appearance. It is about being accepted and valued for who we are. We live in a world where belonging is said to bring peace, contentment, and unity, but so many feel so restless, dissatisfied, and out of sync with everything around them. This is because belonging is about power, or the capacity to influence, shape, or direct not simply our own life, but the groups to which we belong. When so many feel so powerless, this is why they grow distant and disconnected. It's not surprising then that our world has such a problem with belonging. It seems that those who fit are only those who have the right gender, the right sexuality, those who hold economic power and possess good physical and mental health. But anyone who is neurodiverse, whose mental and physical health is wobbly, those who are aged or poor, those whose sexuality and gender is different, they know how hard it is to fit into this world, to have their most basic needs met, and how often they feel like they just don't belong, even in the church. Thankfully, Jesus does not leave us on our own. We can and should think of belonging as a mutual embrace, as a multi-layered relationship where everyone gets to meet, know, and work alongside people who are different to themselves. It is through belonging to God's kingdom that we get to create something larger and bigger and more vibrant than what would be possible by ourselves alone. In many ways, Jesus' words about belonging come only when the full weight of the disciples' shortcomings are seen. The disciples' sense of belonging to God's kingdom is sinking this night. Things started well when Jesus washed their feet, but their connection with Jesus would soon be torn apart by greed, fear, and death. To say that their hearts were troubled would be an understatement. I think their sense of being a part of what God is doing would have been shaken to its very foundations that night. But it is not their weakness that matters, but God's strength. And on the other side of the resurrection, things would look very different. Jesus gives them and gives us a vision of belonging, about how to create spaces for people to belong. But it's not a journey that's easy. In fact, it will take not only all of our humanity, all of our humility and energy, but God's help is needed too. This vision of Jesus is in three parts, the first of which is to believe. Believe in God, trust in Himself, have confidence in what God can do. For Jesus, belief is a matter of entrusting ourselves, all that we are and all that we can and should be, into God's hands. This is more than a matter of having a conviction, an idea. It's the willingness to go along with God, even though the outcome is uncertain. If Jesus had to tell his disciples to believe, you can bet that he knew that they didn't, couldn't, or wouldn't believe that night. And that was okay because of what lay ahead. He knew they needed encouragement, and that's what he provides. Belief is the benchmark for Christian belonging, but it is something for those who know that their faith is shaky, flaky, and all too breaky. It's for those who are prepared to orientate their life around God. Which brings us to my second point, that belief is not a matter of our strength or power. It's a matter of God's character, because God is reliable and true. God can be trusted because of the enormous generosity that is part of God's nature. When Jesus says, "In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places," Jesus is pointing not simply to his imminent departure, but to the breadth of God's hospitality. The kingdom of God is not something small and insignificant. It is the grandest of estates, a place where there is room for everyone. It's wonderful that God does not keep this place to himself. "I go," says Jesus, "to prepare a place for you." God's kingdom is open for everyone. Just how broad is this house? I think it's broad enough for Anglicans and Pentecostals to live together, for Catholics and for Orthodox Christians to join hands to. It's broad enough for fundamentalists and progressives alike. It's broad enough for the strongest and the weak of us, the greatest and the least. Although Jesus might be going, he's not planning on leaving. Which brings me to the third point of his vision. Jesus calls us not simply to believe, but to share in the power of God. God's great house isn't given so that a lot of guests might move in. No, the idea is that God, through his Son, is willing to let people like you and me, have a go to become a part of his work in this world. It's like God throws us the keys of the car and says to us, it's your turn to drive. This is why Jesus returns to the Father, so that God's presence might be poured out upon them and upon us. The one who believes in me, says Jesus, will do what I do. In fact, greater things will be possible. Jesus brought into God's house all kinds of people, not just the 12 Jewish men called his apostles, but Samaritan women, Gentile demoniacs, and all kinds of people suffering from all kinds of things. God's house isn't finished until it is full. Only when people in all their glorious variation come in, will God's place be complete. When people from every tribe and every nation, every ability and every disability, every neuro pattern, every class, every gender and sexuality, this completeness and perfection is never threatened by our presence. In fact, without you, God's work is not done. Jesus calls himself the way, the truth, and the life, not to limit God's love, but to signpost how we can jump in and belong to God's kingdom. So let me wrap this up. What are three things that we can do to strengthen belonging here at Holy Covenant? The first is to believe. Jesus spoke to the disciples about how they belong to God's kingdom. In the upstairs room, they were anything but perfect. They just needed encouragement. Believing is about having a go. Not getting everything right. The second might be this: be open. God's estate is big, which means that there is a place for everyone. Having open minds, open hearts, and open hands to all kinds of people will help them find their belonging in God, especially those who feel like they just don't belong or fit in this world. Those who struggle with their neurodiversity, those whose background or heritage or class is unwelcomed, those who struggle with mental health or able-bodiedness, those who don't fit because of age, gender, or sexuality. A church that believes and behaves and acts so that others can belong to God's kingdom, well, that might just be a sight to behold. The third thing is to ask. Jesus tells his disciples to ask the Father for things in Jesus' name, things that will bring honor to God. So why not ask God for help? Help with love, so that we can act out of generosity rather than fear and anxiety. Let us ask God for help so that we can join him in his work in this world, doing what Jesus did, not by treating people as problems or projects, but as gifts that belong in God's house. If we can believe, if we can be open, and especially if we can ask God for his help, that's when we will see the Father's heart expressed in Jesus for this world. And who would not want to belong or be a part of that? Amen.